There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is entitled Angels Born in Hell, Death at Altamont. Altamont Speedway was the site of a very large rock concert back in 1969 featuring the Rolling Stones, among others, including the Grateful Dead and Jefferson Airplane. It was a pretty big event. And at that event, a young man was murdered, basically, by the Hell's Angels. And we're going to talk about that tragic event. But before we do, I would like to introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Mistress of the Macabre, the Empress of Evil, Pill Poppin', Penis Lovin', Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm good, Timmy. How are you?
I am well. I know that you did a lot of drugs back in the 60s.
Sure.
And that you can probably relate to this. You dropped a lot of acid.
And I wasn't alive in the 60s, so I got that going for me.
Well, you drop a lot of acid today.
Don't judge me.
All right. Well, everything going on.
If you worked with you two, you would drop a lot of acid too.
Well,
I would drop a lot of acid if I worked
with us. He is imposing on Brandy time.
Of course he is.
You're not introduced yet.
Oh, sorry.
Non-existent. Persona non grata.
You did not give your announcements that we are going to use explicit language and we are going to banter.
We haven't got that far yet.
Yes. For those of you new to the podcast, this is an explicit podcast.
The E should have given that away.
We talk like adults, so we swear. If that's not your
adult
thing.
Adult sailors.
Yeah. And we talk like, inmates or something, but... If swearing is not your thing, this is probably not your podcast. If you don't like banter, this is probably not your podcast. Because we banter quite a bit. We banter about, Brandy.
We do banter.
Yes. But we always get to the heart of the story, so if you listen long enough. So we would invite you to stay and listen and decide for yourself. But if you're offended by adult language, then you probably want to go check out.
Go fuck yourself.
No. Go check out a different podcast, but we hope you stay. Okay, in addition to Brandy, I am joined by the moral compass of our podcast, the man who is known as the face of Bloody Stool, the man who just does so much for many different organizations, also has done a lot of work for Decaying Vagina. He is the face of Decaying Vagina, Brandy.
Glad somebody is.
the very honorable Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I am wonderful, Timmy. The weather's warming up here. We're getting up to almost 30 degrees today.
Is it 30? Is it really?
Yeah.
It is.
Nice.
If my phone worked, I could tell you what.
Fucking 6 when I came in this morning. It was cold as...
It's been warming up, so it's...
Okay. I'm going to Atlanta later this week. It's supposed to be 66 degrees. Yay!
66?
And no rain either. It's going to rain here. Colonel, any thoughts before we get started on this topic?
No, you know, I never liked the Rolling Stones, Timmy.
Oh, I do. I'm
a big Rolling Stones fan.
I was never a big Beatles fan, but I like the Rolling Stones. How about you, Brandy?
I enjoy the Rolling Stones.
What about the Beatles?
They're okay.
Okay.
Well, you like the Rolling Stones because they had the whole Sympathy for the Devil thing.
I like the Rolling Stones.
Sympathy for Brandy.
I like Pink Floyd.
Oh,
I like Pink Floyd.
I can only do Pink Floyd if I'm stoned. Otherwise, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
No, okay.
You know, the whole Dark Side of the Moon thing,
I thought that was a tremendous album.
It's supposed to be one of the best albums ever, but I don't know.
It's 33 degrees out right now, Timmy.
Thank you for the weather update, Colonel. Now let's jump into the story, shall we? But before we do, I would like to thank our Patreon supporters, those who keep us on the air with their generous donations. If you would like to support us on Patreon, please visit patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee tiny little bit.
Every little bit helps. It keeps us, it pays the bills and keeps us on the air. So we really appreciate all your support, and we'd like to give a big thank you to all of those of you who support us through Patreon, including Alicia and Chip, Jim Boyer, Brandy McBride, Annette Petre, Lise over there in Norway, Leslie Hager, Amber Scoville, Jahara over there in Europe, Andrew Happ, Charlie and Allie from the Insight podcast. If you haven't checked out Insight, please do. It's a very good podcast. They cover mysteries, and they don't banter as much as we do, or cuss. Amber Trevino, thank you very much, Amber. Mandy Swanson, Jennifer Siemens and her son Hunter, as well as her mother Linda, thank you all for listening and supporting the podcast. Bridget Clavey, of course, Bridget's been with us a long time. Thank you, Bridget, as well as Cindy Liu. Heather Poole, thank you very much, Heather. Jason Dykes, thank you. I'm leaving out Rudy the Wonder Dog. So thank you all for your support on Patreon. Again, if you would like to support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/historydweebs. All right, let's talk about this story. This is a tragic event, Colonel.
It's a horrible event, Timmy.
Yeah, it started out with good intentions of offering a free concert to the people of Northern California. It was being put on by the Rolling Stones. As we said, there were other bands involved, including Jefferson Airplane. I think they were Airplane then, right? That's before they became Starship.
They had the worst song ever written. They sang the worst song ever written.
What was that?
We built this city.
Was it voted?
Okay. Worst song ever made.
Well, I can think of some worse songs that are worse than that.
I don't know. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. But anyway, that was Jefferson Starship, I think. This was when they were Jefferson Airplane. They were cooler then. And the Grateful Dead. So it was a event that was put on kind of at the last minute, and it wasn't well thought through, Colonel, kind of like this podcast.
Mm. No, it's not often well thought through, but, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, let me tell you about one of the folks who attended that concert. His name was Meredith Hunter. Meredith Curly Hunter Jr.
Curly Hunter.
Why would you give your son the middle name Curly?
I don't know. That's not.
Well, it was a junior, so I guess his dad was Meredith Curly Hunter Sr. Wild guess, Brandy.
Makes sense.
Wild guess.
Yeah.
He was born on October 24th, 1951, in Oakland, California. He was raised by his mother, Alpha Mae Anderson.
Alpha.
A-L-T-H-A. How would you, is that?
Alpha?
Alpha, yeah. That was her name.
Okay.
And don't judge.
No, far be it.
Far be it from you to judge.
Exactly.
Meredith Hunter was a young African-American man who grew up in the tough streets of Oakland, California. Although many of his, Oakland's a tough city, Colonel. I've never been there, but.
It couldn't be no tougher than over the Rhine, though.
No. I think over the Rhine, wasn't over the Rhine
voted? It was voted the most dangerous city in America a couple
years ago. Yeah, neighborhood in America.
Yeah.
That's where we're podcasting from. From the beautiful Over the Rhine.
From the beautiful Over the Rhine. And there was a shooting here this morning up the street.
Oh, yeah. See.
Pretty pumped about that.
I missed that. We get a lot of shootings. It's not unusual to get two or three a day, especially in the summertime.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
In the summertime when the shooting is fine.
Young Meredith grew up on tough streets of Oakland. Although many of his friends got in trouble with the police, Meredith was able to avoid any trouble with the law growing up. So good job, Meredith. He did well in school and graduated high school in May of 1969. I was 8 years old. Just putting that, throwing that out there, Brandon.
I was just a wee lad of six.
Not born.
Like many teenagers at the time, Meredith loved rock and roll music. And like many teenagers in the late 60s, Meredith experimented with drugs.
Dangerous combination.
I don't know if it's limited to the 1960s, though. I mean, isn't that...
That's a pretty common thing.
Pretty common thing, yeah. Now, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. So in the fall of 1969, Meredith Hunter was 18 years old. He was an art student at Berkeley, California. We talked about Berkeley when we were talking about Manson, remember?
Mm-hmm.
He lived there for a while. Meredith's nickname was Murdoch, and he was described by his friends to be a flashy dresser, and he sported a big afro. Did you ever have an afro, Colonel?
Never did, but I had naturally curly hair, Timmy, so.
Okay. Well.
Never got the fro.
Meredith and his girlfriend, he had a white girlfriend, Patty Bredehoff. Bredehoff.
In 1969, that would have been frowned upon deeply, Timmy.
It was frowned upon, even in the progressive area of Northern California. Interracial couples was still kind of taboo back then. But they went with another couple, and they decided to go to this free concert that was being put on by the Rolling Stones. In the Altamont Speedway, which, as we mentioned, was a race car a track, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coined by the Rolling Stone magazine as rock and roll's all-time worst day, a day when everything went perfectly wrong, the 1969 festival at Altamont Speedway in Northern California was a concert unlike any other.
Really? What about the Who thing?
Well, this is before.
I thought that was the day the music died.
The music died was when Buddy.
I know.
But I mean, the Who thing happened in the 70s, so this is up to that point. But yeah, we probably should do a podcast on a Who event at some point. While the free event provided a chance to jam with the Rolling Stones and some of their famous counterparts, it also gave fans a hell of a ride. It was supposed to be an excellent day of music and good vibes, but became a day of shocking violence, destruction, and chaos, and murder. Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, he was itching to throw a memorable show for his fans. But his manager was having trouble finding a suitable location. Altamont seemed to be the perfect solution. What could be a better spot for a concert that was out in the middle of nowhere? And early on, it looked like he had been right. The night before the concert, approximately 5,000 fans showed up to meet friends, hang out by the campfire, share dope, and get psyched up. They probably had sex too, Colonel.
Oh, it was having fornicating.
Sodom and Gomorrah out there.
Yeah.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, you
can't have one without the other.
Well, like you can, it's just not as you don't get the whole experience that way. Some people slept and
have you ever noticed you never Gomorrahized anybody?
Well, not lately.
I mean, you could sodomize somebody, but you never Gomorrahize somebody.
Is that where gonorrhea comes from?
It's not so much fun.
I always assumed that's where gonorrhea came from, but I don't know if that.
You always assume that?
Yeah. I jump to conclusions a lot.
I see that.
Some people slept and partied in random wrecked cars. Remember this Altamont was a racetrack, right? And there were some wrecked cars left behind from, you know, the debris, the destruction of the racetrack. So there were some.
So what you're saying is there were so many great life choices going on.
Yeah. So people were hanging out, waiting for the concert to start. A crew was hired to quickly erect a small stage. Colonel, I know you probably erected a small stage.
I've erected a tent or two in my day. Tell me a stage.
Pitched a tent.
Pitched a tent, erected a stage, erected a monument.
Mm-hmm. I heard your erections were dysfunctional.
I have erected you a monument.
You are the face of erectile dysfunction, Colonel.
Well, to me, it's like the Leaning House, Tower of Pisa.
There you go.
How does women feel, Brandy? You're a woman. How does women feel about the curved penis? Are you a fan of the curved penis or not?
I don't know that I have ever really encountered a penis with such a curve that it would make a big difference.
Colonel, in your experience?
Mine's like the McDonald's arch, Timmy.
I'm saying that women. Do women generally like the curved penis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it hits the hot bone, Timmy.
I see.
It hits the hot bone. And either the women got the hot bone or they don't have the hot bone. That's really...
So you're saying if you're
curved... You can satisfy a woman, but only if she has the hot bone. And if she don't have the hot bone, then you can't do it.
Not all women have a hot bone?
No, not all of them.
Do you have a hot bone?
You can pound away for hours. It's like just...
It's futile.
Yeah, there's no point.
Your grasp on the female anatomy is astounding.
Well,
does he have a point? If there is a curved penis, would it reach certain areas that otherwise may not be reached?
I don't know. I guess it would depend on how it's curved. Left, right, up, down. I mean, there's a lot going on there. And is it a little stub that's just a little curved or, what's happening?
All right. Well, can you do some research on that next time and bring that back?
Probably not.
Okay.
So what you're saying is you're an economics professor.
Yeah, and I'm not saying anything about my economics.
You basically said he didn't have a curved penis. Isn't that what you heard?
No, I said there wasn't one that was curved enough for me to really notice.
What you said was straight
notice.
As an arrow.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. So
I did not say that.
You said he was straighter than Paul Newman.
I didn't say that at all.
If you were to, draw a chart of...
with his point directly north.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like a bell curve or anything like that. It would be. Are you going to comment any further?
No.
Okay. So anyway,
I feel like you don't participate in our show.
She really doesn't. She really, people out there, our listeners, like your input on things of the female anatomy and things like that.
Because you all have no grasp on it.
Well, we do.
You're kind of the spokesperson for all of our female listeners.
Yeah.
You are not.
No, you are.
I am, which is why I tell you hush.
Well, I don't know why. Why is the female anatomy's got to be such a secret, Colonel?
It's
like the fucking Illuminati. They're like the Illuminati.
Vaginas are like snowflakes, Timmy. Each and every one of them are different. You know what I mean? Really? They all got different. They're like cars.
They're cold?
I mean, they have...
It takes them a minute to get warmed up in the wintertime.
I mean, they all have engines and starters and, ignition modules.
Some are automatic, some are stick shift.
Some are stick shift, but you don't know exactly where, some engines are bigger, some are smaller, some have bigger transmissions, some have a different alternator on. Yeah. I mean,
of them you have to overhaul the transmission.
Sometimes you got to rebuild a piston in them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
What?
I'm just saying there's
just saying gibberish.
There's a similarity between vaginas and
automobiles.
The motor train and your automobile.
No.
They're all the same roughly, but they're all different.
No.
Some are four-wheel drive. Some are compact. Some are...
Like you keep talking in some hopes of some something don't run making at
all.
Sense.
No, some don't run at all, Timmy. Some need to go to the junkyard.
And you know what? They don't last over 40 years.
No. Show
Maybe
me.
Maybe they just need the right driver.
You know, they should have historical underwear for vaginas over, like they do on cars. Once that vagina's hit, you know, 40 years, get it some historical underwear just like you get historical plates on cars.
What?
Yeah. Does women have to change, start
you
wearing
fucking ridiculous
boxers after they turn 40? Because
for the extra room.
Yeah.
Because they got the little nubbin.
he's talking about, Brandy, that the penis starts.
I got it. Thank you.
The penis starts to erupt.
Does
right
it?
Right at about 40.
Yeah. It does. It. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're fucking retarded. You are fucking ridiculous.
Now, see, you're hostile again, devil.
I'm hostile because... Because your grasp on any sort of female body part is astoundingly low. For someone who's been trained better than that.
When you and Dave are listening.
We're not talking about me and Dave and our sex
life.
Being romantical.
Making love.
We're not talking about that.
Out of nothing at all.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Do you pretty much do you have a pretty good timing on when this whole thing comes to the climax, or do you?
That shit only happens in movies. So, somebody always wins that race.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That shit only happens in movies.
I tell you, it's like the Kentucky
Derby. Do you ever win?
Yeah.
Okay, and then when you win, are you like get off?
When I win, everybody's a winner.
I bet.
Also, you let the number 10 horse still cross the finish line.
Sure.
See, once, if it's me.
Well, no, if it's you, that's a different
story. If
it's me,
the race is over.
Yeah.
You can just stop right where you're at.
Right.
I mean, you can just take the barn right back to the horse because that race is over.
But since women are more giving than you are.
I have not found that to be my experience.
Or at least fake it till they cross.
Well, yeah, limp across sometimes.
Have you ever faked an orgasm, Carl?
I've had to on occasion, Timmy. I have had to.
Okay. All right, back to our story. Please let me.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have
time,
you?
Time or two.
What? Had time or two?
Yeah.
Every man has faked an orgasm.
Yeah. Especially if you got a date and you have to get, you know, you have to get done because you have
another date?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wow. Sports then is coming on in like 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. It's common.
It's like, that's it, girl. Oh, that's it, girl. Oh, gross. Oh, that's it, girl. That's it, girl. Right there. Oh, that's it, baby.
Stop.
Yeah, and then we're
call me daddy. Visual. Yeah. Call me daddy.
What you all could not see was the visual component of that, which has made me feel a little bit dirty.
Back to our story, the death at
but we digress.
Altamont. So Mick Jagger wanted to throw this big party, right? So they find this spot out in the middle of nowhere at this speedway. People come early. 5,000 people show up early. They start partying the night before. They set up a small stage. And rather than being a well-planned public event... Altamont turned out to be a blueprint for disaster. With a mere 4 days' notice, it offered a chance to see the Rolling Stones for free. When you start giving away shit for free, a lot of people show up.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, at that time, the Rolling Stones, as they are today, but that, especially at that time, was one of the most popular bands ever. So people were coming from all around to see, to attend this concert. The place they held the event was chosen because it was barren, treeless, and desolate, in a desolate location. So it was out in the middle of nowhere, and they did not give anyone any advance warning of people living nearby, including the police department. There were very few bathrooms provided, and there was just a little, as I said, a little wooden stage in the middle of this field that was maybe 3 feet off the ground, so it wasn't very elaborate setup. And once the band started playing, they were literally surrounded on all sides by a sea of people. Lights and sound were given little attention to make the concert more intimate, and there was no food, water, or seating offered. So basically, they're just having this concert in the middle of a cow patty. It's something like the Dead End Kids or the Bowery Boys are like put on, well, Little Rascals, I guess. They just decided to put on the show.
It's pretty much how we put on a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Very little.
Very low preparation or forethought.
Exactly. And if the crowd got a little crazy, they decided they needed some security. They needed some help with the security. So some members of the Grateful Dead had recommended that the Rolling Stones hire the local Hell's Angels motorcycle gang to serve as security guards for the event.
Sounds legit.
Yeah. Well, it was a good thought. It wasn't just the Stones that were playing, though. There were several other well-known bands, as I mentioned before, the Grateful Dead, Santana. That was probably before Smooth.
Probably.
Yeah. Jefferson Airplane. So because all these popular groups were playing, they predicted that about 100,000 people would show up for a free show. By 7:30 a.m. Saturday morning, the day of the event, the hills were solidly packed with people, and it was clear that there had been a miscalculation.
This was before the internet.
Yeah. As far as the eye could see in any direction, an army of hyped-up hippies. How do you like that? Hyped-up hippies.
Do hippies get hyped up?
Yeah.
Oh, they was on the speed. That's when the speed became popular back then.
Yes, they were on the speed. Could be seen advancing over the hills, through the valleys, and along the road and railroad tracks, all converging on Altamont. Because there were no or very little signage outside the venue, people became confused and left their vehicles, and just some of them started hiking as far as 5 miles through the brush and trees and stuff to find the concert. In the end, remember I said they were projecting 100,000 people would show up?
How many were there?
In the end, the show attracted over 300,000 people.
That's a lot of hippies.
Screwed the pooch on that.
Yeah. And hippies were dirty people.
Looking for one hell of a good time.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of stench.
Oh, come on.
No, hippies were dirty. They only took baths in lakes.
Free love.
Yeah,
Peace and love.
And you didn't have decaying vaginas, but you had a lot of stale vaginas.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Now, think about it. They was in a Volkswagen for probably 500 miles. You know, they didn't have air conditioning. It was hot down in
part
of the country. And
I think you are stereotyping, Colonel, and I will have no part of it.
Yeah.
Since there were thousands of people using drugs at the concert, including many of the performers, there was a question as to what to do about security, as I mentioned, fearing that off-duty police officers may end up making thousands of arrests. Another option was needed, and that is when the members of the Grateful Dead, although they denied it, suggested that the Rolling Stones hire the Hell's Angels because they would maintain order, and would work for cheap.
Solid plan.
Yeah.
So
the Hell's Angels used to follow the Grateful Dead around.
Yes, they were.
And they never had any problems with them, but the Grateful Head. It was not
grateful. Any head I've ever got, I've been grateful
for. Very grateful. Yeah.
Perfect.
the Grateful Dead seemed to be able to keep them under control pretty well.
Yeah. Well, that didn't work out so well this time. So the Rolling Stones hired the Hell's Angels for $500 and free beer.
Yes.
That's a pretty good deal, don't you think?
I know people that would kill somebody for that.
Yeah. It would prove, though, to be a deadly mistake.
Deadly, Timmy.
The Hell's Angels stood directly in front of the band in an effort to keep people off the unusually low stage that was set up. The roar of the hundreds of motorcycles could be heard for several minutes before the angels appeared over the crest of the hill and proceeded to head down into the crowd. So they was basically saying, get the fuck out of my way. They were riding motorcycles right in the crowd.
And they called the Hell's Angels from all over the all over the region. So it wasn't just
yeah,
like
it just
the
went
Los
a
Angeles
few,
chapter.
Right. Yeah, it was a lot of different groups.
I've seen Sons of Anarchy. I know how it works.
Okay.
However, they did not stop, and they just drove through the thick mass of people headed for the stage. Most people moved out of the way or even shouted a welcome, but the Angels were not there to be social.
No.
They were an antisocial group by nature, Terry.
They're not there for shenanigans.
Yeah, they're not big on shenanigans. What happens next, Brandy?
Bikes parked and territory secured, a couple of the Angels could be seen drinking from a gallon of Red Mountain Vinrose wine.
Oh, now that's a party.
Well, I'm telling you, a little Boone's Farm is all it's missing at this point.
It seems a little dainty for the Hell's Angels to be drinking red wine.
Yeah, but they're also dropping acid.
Yeah, that's true.
Bragging about the two tabs of mescaline they had put in earlier.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Is that a little bit more ballsy for you?
Yeah, that's it. That does it for me.
I don't know. Red Mountain Vinrose wine, have you ever had it? It's ballsy to drink that.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like shoe polish, really.
The Angels had been busy that morning in Berkeley, allegedly buying up thousands of tabs of sunshine acid.
Oh, I remember that.
A variety known for being particularly speedy.
I remember my brother's friends, they always talk about sunshine.
Sunshine on my shoulder.
Don't do the green acid.
Once their motors were running.
I never did any acid. I wouldn't know what that was like. But
once their motors were running, drugs could be seen scattered across the stage as the Angels chugged wine and downed reds and speed. The more they partied, the more violent they became. And fighting
began
to break out.
You know, I'm concerned. They are violating social norms.
Yes.
Colonel? Yeah. You expect certain, there's a certain propriety if you're going to be a security guard at a concert.
Yeah. One of them is not riding over people and passing out speed.
Or just whacking them with pool cues.
Yeah.
Okay. What?
They would beat if they'd see people too close. Okay. Let's stick to the topic when you can inform us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Please carry on, Brandy.
Appreciate that. Let's see. Once their motors were running, drugs could be seen scattered across the stage as the Angels chugged wine and downed reds in speed. Shut the hell up and I'll get to my part. The more they partied, the more violent they became, and fighting began to break out at regular intervals. As soon as everyone settled in and Santana began their set, things quickly turned ugly.
Don't do that.
She's a black magic woman.
We get so many complaints.
He always sounds like the Lollipop Guild.
I know. And we get so many complaints when you try to sing.
That wasn't me singing. That was me playing.
The air guitar. I know. But please, the air guitar, put it on mute. You can play the air guitar. Just so I'm mute so people can't hear
it. Put my headphones in my amp.
Yes.
Some jackass tried to move past a few of the Angels to get closer to the stage. He was kicked in the face and pulverized with punches that left him motionless on the ground. Well, the fucker shouldn't have been trying to get past people.
You don't cut in front of the Hell's Angels.
No, you don't. And more violence was not long to follow.
Colonel, I want you to call out the Hell's Angels.
Well, I ain't worried about the Hell's Angels. Now, the Iron Horsemen, I ain't fucking with them because I see a lot of them up by my house. But Hell's Angels, fuck you.
Thank you, Colonel.
Thank you. I got more guns than the Hell's Angels do.
The violence was not long to follow. It had already begun earlier, of course, but to have had it going on while the bands were playing was a new twist. Between the first and the second song, one young-looking fellow tried to pass nearby to get on stage. He was wearing, I think this is probably the same guy, he was wearing blue and yellow sports shirt, jeans, and had long, straight blonde hair over his ears. Let's see. Yeah, this is the same guy. A lot of the photographers kept right on taking their photos through the worst of it, right up close without getting hassled. So did the movie crews, but then they had the Angels for bodyguards.
Yeah, the movie crew, they had a movie crew there because they were filming a documentary called Gimme Shelter.
Yeah.
Famed Star Wars producer was covering the event as a cameraman. Yeah. He was not harmed.
George Lucas.
Yeah, George Lucas.
Well, I didn't know if you were going to insert his name somewhere.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, George Lucas was there, but the film that he took ended up he couldn't use, it didn't take or something.
Not every photographer was so lucky, though. John Young, 24, who moved in with his Licia,
mm-hmm.
to capture some of the bashing, wound up with 13 stitches in his head. The Angels were beating a couple of naked people to the ground during Santana's set.
See?
Well.
And if you listen to Santana, you're sitting there, you're naked with your friends. You're sitting there naked with your friends. You don't expect to be beat up by Hell's Angels.
No, you don't. That's the last thing, really, you expect.
Mm-hmm.
In moments, the nudies were up again, and Young started taking pictures when the Angels resumed bashing them. An Angel spotted him out of some 10 or 12 photographers immediately surrounding him and demanded, "I want your film or you get hit." Young kept shooting, and the Angel leapt at him, smashing the camera into Young's face. He warned him. In all fairness, he was warned. Down he went. When several Angels began pounding him, Young rolled into a protective ball. "Felt like they were hitting me with a hammer and a broken bottle," Young later said. Observers said it was pool cues. Why the fuck would you bring pool cues out?
They all brought pool cues because you can take
the reason you do that, and it's the same reason I carry a bat bag in my car.
Of course, Chuck knows.
No,
in case a spontaneous pool game.
In case a Rolling Stones concert.
If I'm driving down the road and I got a baseball bat in my back seat, I got to explain why I got a baseball bat.
You keep it in a bag in the trunk, and then nobody questions it.
If you keep it in a bag in your back
seat.
What
does that have to do with a pool cue?
If you have a pool cue. Now, remember, a pool cue folds up into two pieces.
Yes.
So if you're carrying in a pool cue with you in a little small case, it's effectively a billy club, but it's not considered a lethal weapon if the police pull you over.
The Angels, many of them, were carrying and applying to a lot of non-angel heads loaded pool cues, sawed off usually to a length somewhat longer than a billy club, about the length, in fact, of cattle prods. These types of weapons were used in the South to beat blacks during the civil rights demonstrations. Perfect. Eventually, they got around to removing the film from his camera. Drenched in blood, Young, hair, face, neck, shirt, back and front. Young ran 50 yards into the crowd and then sort of collapsed until the Red Cross took him to their tent, where they cleaned him up, administered Novocaine, and stitched him up. As the scene grew hotter, people were ripped off the stage and hammered by several Angels all at once. Reports of the spreading violence at Altamont soon made it back to the Huntington Hotel, where the Stones were getting ready to take their helicopter.
Yeah, they wasn't there yet. They were just back waiting to
The violence was limited to fans and cameramen. Jefferson Airplane's Marty Balin had been knocked unconscious by a Hell's Angel when he tried to intervene to stop the violence.
Yeah, so it wasn't limited.
He stopped the show. He actually stopped the show, said, "You guys need to cut that shit out." And a Hell's Angels came right up on stage, punched him in the jaw, knocked him out.
Yeah, they wasn't, at this point, they were kind of off the
They
didn't care about the show anymore.
He was pissed. He was a keyboardist for guitar, and he said, "We'd like to continue the show, but the Hell's Angels just knocked out our singer." So, I mean, they was not pleased with it.
Yeah.
He's lucky he didn't get his ass.
Well, I mean, they turned on all the groups, all the bands.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not limited to fans. All right, so the Rolling Stones were nervous, and they considered canceling, but at the end of the day, the show must go on because the Rolling Stones are nothing if not professional. As their helicopter landed amidst a seething crowd miles deep, regret began to creep back in, especially when Mick Jagger exited the helicopter and was immediately punched in the face by a whacked-out fan. The Grateful Dead was another highly anticipated show of the evening and were expected to play right before the Rolling Stones and then immediately after. Seeing how the situation was rapidly degenerating, the Dead refused to perform and left the venue, leaving the crowd even more restless and angry than they already were.
They said, we're just going to go back to the pad.
That was also the end of the relationship with the Grateful Dead and the Hell's Angels.
Yeah.
Because they had followed them around, and Jerry Garcia made it very clear that the Hell's Angels would not be welcome at there.
And they couldn't sell T-shirts anymore.
Yeah.
Because Mick Jagger wanted the dramatic effect of darkness when he took the stage, the Stones waited another hour or so before making their entrance.
Yeah, so they got this whole group of people wound up and delaying the show by another hour.
So there are conflicting reports of what actually went down on that fateful evening as the Rolling Stones burst into their first song of the night, Sympathy for the Devil.
Went down. See, Colonel, how hip I was with that phone that time.
Went down.
Yeah.
Meredith Hunter was enjoying the concert with his white girlfriend. They were near the front of the stage and obviously very high on something. For some unknown reason, Meredith attempted to jump up and join some of the other fans dancing on stage.
I wonder if they... See what I've been... Interesting, Colonel. If the Hells Angels was at that concert with Bruce Springsteen when what's-her-name jumped up on the stage for Dancing in the Dark.
Courtney Love?
Not Courtney Love, Courtney Cox.
Yeah. They would have stomped her down.
Yeah. Would they stabbed her, you think?
Bruce would have not allowed the Hells Angels at his show.
Yeah. But he's, I'm just saying.
You know what he would have told? Because he is the boss. Mm-hmm. He would have said, sit your ass down and calm down.
Yeah. Well, Mick Jagger tries that, and it doesn't work.
Okay. Well, he ain't the boss.
Yeah.
So
his little rooster just popping around the bed, hopping about the stage.
Meredith, a boy, which is an unfortunate name for a boy.
Also, I should add,
Murdoch.
I'm trying to paint a picture here.
Yeah, let him paint.
Imagine Meredith. Okay, now the Hells Angels are not a tolerant people.
They're not the most progressive.
He's there with his white girlfriend.
And he has a lime green leisure suit on. Yeah. And a hat.
It looks like Larry from that game.
Leisure Suit Larry.
So he is not. He's not green. Blending in well.
All right.
So
and he's got the whole Afro thing going on and.
Okay, so he jumps up on. He wants to go and join these other fans up on stage. He jumps up there. At that point, it is known that he is violently pushed back by several angels, which pissed Meredith off, and he shoved him back.
Yeah, that's not a good idea, Colonel.
At this point, two of the Hells Angels got into a scuffle with Hunter when he attempted to get on stage with other fans. What the fuck?
They're scuffle breaking out.
Scuffle breaking out.
Well, he's trying to get on stage. But I'm just wondering, okay, if this is a different scuffle, if it's the same scuffle.
No, no.
Okay.
Hunter is his last name.
No, I know.
Okay.
It's a continuation of the scuffle.
Yeah.
There's a story.
Does he keep trying to get up on stage? Yeah.
No. Please, I've been through enough of your scripts. You got to be careful.
My script, they flow. They're just like, you know, it's just like the River Thames or Thames, as you would say. It flows.
Thames. I believe she would call it Thames.
I believe I called it neither one of those things when we had it in a podcast. You fuck cards.
Only because in rehearsal we had to correct you.
Yes.
One of the Hells Angels grabbed Hunter's head.
I bet people don't know that we rehearsed, Colonel.
Oh, we rehearsed extensively for this show.
Yeah. One of the Hells Angels grabbed Hunter's head, punched him, and chased him back into the crowd where four other angels descended upon him.
Well, that seems a little rude.
Well, it just made me think of Charlie's Angels.
Charlie had some nice-looking angels, but you know that Farrah Fawcett, she died of the anal cancer.
Right? Yeah, and Cheryl Ladd wasn't much.
Shelley Hack. And it was funny because
she was only there on a minute.
She was there for a minute.
Something like that.
And guess why they didn't renew her contract?
I don't know.
They said she couldn't act.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Now, isn't that... I mean, that's bad for your career. If
Have you seen Jacqueline Smith?
No, not lately.
The woman looks like Charlie's Angels was done about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, really? She hasn't aged. She looks good.
She has not hit the wall.
Oh, yeah. No. And she must be 60, 70. Well,
you're skipping over an important detail.
But the whole thing is, this is a woman, she bypassed the penis phase. I'd still do it.
I understand that, but we're missing the most important element of this story, and that is Farrah Fawcett has anal cancer.
That is important.
Which is weird.
Why couldn't they just give her the colon cancer?
Colon cancer, prostate, anything.
Hold on. You mock my lack of knowledge of parts.
I understand that.
Is there a prostate in there?
But you know what? Anything would be better than she died of anal. She had butthole cancer. She had butthole cancer. Mm-hmm.
How do you get that?
I believe it's Ryan O'Neill's fault.
Boy, they had Ryan O'Neill's. That was a whole weird, weird family.
Lasted almost her whole life.
You dirty flower. In the
but you know
child.
She was sweet. I mean, Farrah Fawcett was sweet.
I had the poster. Did you have the poster?
Oh yeah. I had a T-shirt too.
Yeah, we all had it.
Of course you did.
We all had it. That thing almost caused me to go blind, Timmy.
You know,
bathing suit.
I wonder how much they made off of that.
Off that poster?
A poster.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
She made $13,000.
Let's talk about her anal cancer because it's a serious infliction.
It's an infliction?
Somebody.
Okay. Let's talk about that infliction.
I mean, it's a serious disease.
Sure.
There's nothing to sneeze at.
It's nothing
you
like
don't
want
to be sneezing at somebody's anus.
But do you think it could be... Could it be because of very hard stool or something? Could that?
I think it's probably from.
You don't know. Let's not put anything
out
there.
I think it's probably from smoking.
Smoking?
No. What?
She didn't smoke, did she?
I don't know.
I
think that.
Had she used.
Since we're offering jackass opinions, maybe it's from eating dairy.
Using lubricants that had carcinogens.
She probably wasn't using stool softeners.
She might not have been.
If she had been using stool softeners, I'm sure that she would have.
She would have got a hemorrhoid.
Well, yeah. Right, and hemorrhoids will lead to fissures, and that will lead to anal cancer.
I don't think so.
I don't believe you. I think you're wrong on that one, Timmy.
Yeah, Quincy, settle down over there.
Yeah.
I think you're
Marcus Welby. You got that one wrong.
Let's not put shit out there in the world like that.
I'm just saying they're both in the anal area.
You know, let me just say,
if it's found early, it's highly treatable.
I would encourage anybody who has anything wrong with their anus to seek professional help.
Yeah.
That's true.
And not listen to anything.
But I've got some statistics here I want to share with you.
You should have your anus exam.
Most people who are over age 60, 80% of those who are diagnosed are over the age 60. So, Colonel, you've got to be careful.
We got a few years, yeah.
You got to look out for that.
I'll be keeping an eye out.
However, prior to age 35,
you're closer to 60 than I am.
Prior to the age of 35, anal cancer is more common in men.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it's not called anything else but anal cancer.
There's a relationship with HPV.
Oh, yeah.
It's a major risk factor.
Mm-hmm. So, HPV causing all kinds of cancers.
I know.
If you have, if you're out there, it says. It can the symptoms and signs may include pain or pressure in the anal area.
Yeah, that's
Nobody likes
check
that.
Check these in your mind, Brandy, as I go through here.
I always attribute that to working with the two of you.
A lump near the anus?
Again, well, the two of you.
Yeah, that's a dead giveaway.
A change in bowel habits? Colonel?
I don't know what he's looking for here.
What exactly?
I got another one more. Very important one. Unusual discharges from the anus.
Oh, well. Nobody wants to have discharge from the anus.
Well, not unusual ones. You have to have some.
Yeah, you want the typical.
Awful. That poor woman, I mean, that's how she's going to be remembered forever, is that she had anal cancer.
Well, the poor woman died on the same day as Michael Jackson.
Well, yeah, so she won't, yeah.
So she had like an hour and a half of,
maybe she came out ahead, because otherwise people would be sitting around talking about her having anal cancer.
No, I think they still do. Anytime you say anything about Farrah Fawcett, they go, oh, she died of anal cancer.
Yeah, that's
which
really,
is bullshit.
It really is.
Do you remember when that Olestra came out?
Yes, God.
Now, they always start, that would give you anal cancer. Have you ever noticed that they always
500,
start?
Or 50,000 people die each year.
There's a big difference between 500 and 50,000 people.
But 50,000 people die each year from anal cancer. So please get your anuses checked regularly.
So anyway,
my medical professional, not just the guy sitting next to you.
With that old Astra, they always started with a mild side effect. Might cause cramping. Might cause discomfort.
Blindness.
Might cause a little bit of bloating. Might cause gas.
Yeah.
Could cause diarrhea.
Explosive diarrhea.
Explosive diarrhea.
Hold on.
The worst thing is being on a date and have explosive diarrhea, being on a blind date. Oh, it's awful.
The best one is anal leakage. Remember that?
Yes, anal leakage.
Anal leakage came from the old Estra.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know what? If I see the really pretty girl over here, the, 100 and whatever pound, the size 4, and I've got the size 12, but the size 4's got some anal leakage going on, I'll take the size 50. I don't want no anal leakage around me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Anal leakage is
incredibly awful.
Anal leakage is a turnoff.
No, it's not sexist. What I'm saying is,
it is a turnoff.
You eat the Olestra to try to make yourself skinny, but you're kind of offsetting the fact that you have
to wear a diaper.
Yeah.
Anal leakage.
Ally does that too, evidently.
What does?
Ally, that diet pill that blocks fat from absorbing into your body.
Oh, it just causes it to run out your ass?
Yeah.
Ain't nothing but
anal cancer is 6 times higher in single men as compared to married men.
Because y'all are shoving stuff up your ass all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
You know why? You know why? Because when you're married.
Like the little army men thing.
When you're married, you always got her buried in your ass. So if anything's askew, they notice it right away to me.
All right. Can I get on with this?
Please continue. What are we talking about? What's the show about?
God. So an eyewitness had reported that this...
Well, come on. We couldn't let anal... mentioned Charlie's Angels. So the next... You know when you... So whoever said Charlie's Angels...
You did.
No, I did. It was me. Okay. It was Brandy. Well, you know that was going to lead to a...
Anal cancer.
Yeah. Conversation on anal cancer.
Okay. So an eyewitness reported... So Hunter's trying to get up on stage. There's some scuffling. There's a kerfluffle.
Yeah.
And then, they start beating the hell out of him. So he takes off into the crowd. Four angels, after he gets out in the crowd, four angels jump on him. An eyewitness reported that...
In the arms of the angels.
Yeah, you don't want to be in their arms.
Fly away.
All right, Colonel. Okay. Trivia question.
Okay.
Sarah McLachlan wrote Arms of the Angels for who?
Huh?
Who does she write it for?
I believe she wrote it for Marilyn Monroe.
Nope.
That's
Candle
Winehouse.
In the Wind, you dick.
I don't know. Who did she write it for?
I have to look it up. Someone died of a heroin overdose. I want to say it was a Smashing Pumpkins, but I might be wrong.
Okay, so witness reported that Hunter was stabbed by one of the angels at this point. Prior to, evidently, there was a later stabbing that was caught on film.
Yeah, it was part of the... documentary.
This guy getting stabbed.
Oh, you can see it. It's on film.
Oh, that's awful.
You can see it on
it
YouTube.
It looks like they're punching him.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they made that. I mean, I don't. They may have cut that out of the video that they documentary.
No, they did not. It's where I didn't give me shelter.
It was the first.
But it looks, you can't tell that they're stabbing him. It looks like they're punching him over and over and over.
Jonathan Melvon from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, okay.
He OD'd. That was who Sarah McLachlan
wrote. I thought she wrote it for some puppies.
Okay.
No. Although she likes puppies.
Witnesses in the crowd claim that Meredith never rushed the stage. But the Hell's Angels were pissy to see Meredith, a black man, with his white girlfriend.
Yeah, because they're not the most progressive.
They're not tolerant.
They're not a tolerant people, no.
After a few seconds, Hunter angrily returned to the front of the stage, good Lord, where, according to the Gimme Shelter producer, Porter Bibb, Hunter's girlfriend, Patty Breidenhoff, what is it?
Yeah, it's close enough.
Okay. Found him and tearfully begged him to calm down and move further back in the crowd with her.
Yeah, so he's whacked out on speed.
Well, I'm getting there. Yeah. So by her report, he was enraged, irrational, and so high he could barely walk.
But not erect.
But what?
Not erect.
I think he was standing.
But not his penis.
There's no mention of his penis in here.
I usually point.
You wrote it.
Yeah, I usually write that if there's any hint of an erection.
Yeah. Just a hint of an erection
Sweet.
Is nice at
but
all.
But there's a need to. Well, it's pertinent to the story.
It's not. I don't think it is.
And if he was.
If he's approaching the Hell's Angels with a Woody, they're not going to like that. Yeah.
Well, no. But you got to admit he had some balls.
Well, yeah. Grateful Dead associate Rock Scully noticed Hunter in the crowd, remembering that I saw what he was looking at, that he was crazy, that he was on drugs, and that he had murderous intent. What? There is no doubt in my mind that he intended to do terrible harm to Mick or somebody in the Rolling Stones or somebody on that stage.
He had a sweet-ass hat, too.
I think like you said, they were close to the Hell's Angels. I think that might have been a little...
Yeah.
Another witness reported him looking pretty straight, though visibly upset about the violence inflicted upon him. At this point, footage from the documentary shows Hunter, seen in the film in a lime green suit, drawing Leisure what appears suit. To be a long-barreled black .22 caliber revolver from his jacket and pointing it in the air. The film shows what might be an orange flash at the end of the pistol in one frame. Due to the film's low fidelity, it's impossible to determine whether the flash is a gunshot, a reflection, or a film defect. The Angels did not report any discharged cartridges in Meredith Hunter's pistol.
Yeah. So this was the second time. First time he rushed the stage, they beat him up, and then he kind of regroups, and then he rushes back, and he's got something that looks like
Then he pulls out his piece.
Yeah, and then...
The film then shows...
did not go well.
The film then shows Hell's Angel Alan... Pissarro, armed with a knife, running at Hunter from the side, prying the gun from his left hand and stabbing him with his right.
Yeah, you can clearly see in the film him. I mean, it's not just like he's jabbing him either. I mean, it's full. You know,
it looks
arm.
Like he's punching him, but
But his arms is like over his head.
So he went at him all crazy like Braveheart.
Oh, he came Michael Myer on his ass. Yeah.
The Hell's Angel claimed he brandished a gun at them, giving them no choice but to start stabbing him. Hunter then took out a gun in a moment of desperation to save his own life, and the Angel slapped it away, stabbing Hunter in the side of the head and then kicking him over and over in the face until there was no face left.
Yeah, I guess his face was just bludgeoned.
Other eyewitness accounts tell a much more horrific story of how one angel in particular chased the young man through the crowd, stabbing him in the back as he ran. Hell's Angel Alan Pissarro is reported to have stabbed Hunter 5 times in the upper back. Witnesses also reported Hunter was stomped on by several Hell's Angels while he was on the ground. The gun was recovered and turned over to police. Hunter's autopsy later confirmed his girlfriend's report that he did have methamphetamine in his bloodstream at the time of his death. Film footage seems to support that Meredith had something resembling a gun in his hand as he approached the stage a second time.
Now... Two witnesses to this brutalization of Mr. Hunter approached him once the Hell's Angel had left and tried to help him to safety. As they carried his body through the chaotic crowd, trying to scream to the band to stop the music, they realized it was futile. The crowd would not let them through, and the Rolling Stones could not seem to hear us or see them clearly.
Yeah, they weren't aware at this point.
Yeah, although they did shield their eyes a few times in an effort to see out into the darkness, sensing something bad was happening. And this all happened right as Mick Jagger was breaking into the song Sympathy for the Devil. Mm-hmm. He came out in his big red cape, and, you know, so he was just setting up a tone of evil. Now, Hunter died soon thereafter. He'd been stabbed 5 times, bludgeoned to death by being stomped in the head multiple times. He was 18 years old at his death, and up until then, all the hateful energy from the Angels had been focused on the Troublemakers. Several stretchers were passed back through the crowd to remove those who could no longer stand as the Rolling Stones launched into Under My Thumb.
Yeah, that's
and a body, as they did that, a body sailed across the stage.
Jesus Christ.
Now, Jagger had made some feeble protests up to this point, but apparently he became increasingly upset and threatened to stop playing if the Angels didn't cool off. The concert was immortalized in a documentary shot at the venue called Gimme Shelter. You can get that on Netflix, as a matter of fact. On the film, Jagger is repeatedly heard saying, "We are going to split if they don't stop hurting people."
Is that your English accent?
We're going to split if they don't stop hurting people.
Yeah, you don't sound like Mick Jagger.
Yeah, it's hard to get. He's hard to do. It was a menacing moment as he stopped the music to calm the crowd, but the Angels did nothing to help him. They'd been watching his flamboyant performance with amusement and shared disdain. They could take this guy, so who does he think he is? So what the Angels did is they parked in front of the stage and they gunned the engines defiantly, and then it all became perfectly clear. The musicians might be the ones playing the music, but they were not the ones in charge. Someone had to answer for the stabbing of young Meredith Hunter, and the Angel who had murdered him with thousands of witnesses was the obvious choice. Pissarro was arrested and charged with murder for his death. Despite the damning evidence and testimony, Hell's Angel Pissarro walked on all charges. Most people, including the all-white jury, didn't know about Altamont, except there had been a fight there with some young people around Christmas time.
Yeah, he got off on self-defense.
Yeah, they found him not guilty on grounds of self-defense after they viewed the footage and showed the revolver. It was kind of hard. Now, when it came time to determine guilt, it was easier to assume a black man and certified speed user was the one to blame for the incidents. Now, to this day, Hunter has never received justice for the Hunter family has never received justice for the death of their son, or even an apology from the Rolling Stones, who apparently put together one of the most careless and lethal concerts in history. Shortly after Hunter's death, Altha Mae Anderson, his mother, requested that the raceway Altamont be turned into a public park to prevent any more wrongful deaths at Altamont. Alameda County officials later voted to allow the raceway to still host races, but barred future concerts and restricted the number of attendees to 3,000. Now, Anderson later sued the Rolling Stones for $500,000. After withdrawing attempts to get the case dismissed, the band paid her $10,000.
Oh, $10,000 for the life of her son.
Now, Alan Passero, the Hell's Angel, years later, 1985.
Yeah, get this, Brandy.
He was found dead, drowned in a lake, Anderson Lake, in southern Santa Clara County. Police said the death is kind of suspicious, though foul play was never confirmed. He was found dead in 1985, with $10,000 in his pocket.
Oh, that's not suspect at all.
Now, after the tragic events at Altamont, Mick Jagger vowed not to associate with the Hell's Angels ever again. I ain't playing well. I ain't even coming around you people no more.
Yeah, he made some negative statements.
Some really negative statements.
And they did not take that well.
No. A BBC, in 2008, a BBC reporter said that after the concert, members of the Hell's Angels unsuccessfully tried to murder Mick Jagger.
There you go.
In retaliation for his post-concert comments, gang members hatched a plan to kill the Stones' front man at the Holiday Home and at his holiday home in Long Island, New York. Now, this is according to a BBC documentary. So in 1969, a group of Hell's Angels climb aboard a boat and decide they're going to attack by sea.
But it says it like the Hell's Angels Navy.
Yeah, but a storm hit their boat. Going by boat as they gathered their weaponry and their forces, a storm rolled up and nearly sunk the watercraft, said FBI agent Mark Young. The turbulent weather threw everyone overboard, and the gang made no other attempt on Jagger's life.
Well, they got those fucking leather jackets on. I wonder if they didn't sink right to the bottom. Yeah.
Right.
Over the years, there were rumors that a second unidentified assailant had inflicted the fatal wounds, and as a result, the police considered the case still open. But in 2005, Alameda County Sheriff's Office announced that it was officially closing the case. Investigators concluding a renewed two-year investigation dismissed the theory that a second Hell's Angels took part in the stabbing. Meredith Crowley Hunter Jr. is buried in the Skyview Memorial Lawn in Vallejo, California.
Yeah, they just closed that case, what, like 10 years ago, right?
10 years ago,
they kept 11, that, kept
2005.
That, open. That must have been a hell of a concert. Brandy, your final thoughts on the death at Altamont.
And, you know, horrible. It was a horrible tragedy.
Did you go to a lot of cool concerts when you were younger?
I have been to a lot of cool
concerts. What's your favorite concert you ever been to?
I saw Tina Turner and Lionel Richie, and that was my favorite thing in the whole wide world.
You know what? I never could get that video where he's dating that blind girl.
I didn't so much care about that, but he sang a lot of Commodore songs. So like, he sang Brick House.
Oh, that's I used to dance to that.
Everybody dances to that.
Yeah.
Sail on down the line.
I like that song.
Okay.
I like Sail On.
He did that, and then I
saw... Oh, what a feeling. We'll be dancing on the ceiling.
What was the name of it? Hello. Isn't it?
Yes.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
All right, Colonel, it's enough.
I'm sorry, that makes me.
But I just think it's ironic.
I'm passionate about that song, Timmy.
No, she was blind in the video.
Yeah. And then I saw Tina Turner, and she sang "Proud Mary" and all her other stuff. So I mean, it was a really.
Man. How old is Tina Turner?
She's 112, but
she's got to be in the death.
I saw her.
Oh, she got the decay.
No, she looks good.
No, she's
but I saw her, and I saw him with a good friend. I saw him with a good friend of mine, so it was a good concert all the way around.
All right. Colonel, your favorite concert?
Well, obviously.
Wait a minute. Brandy's not done talking.
No, it's Bruce Springsteen.
I'm going to.
Which is a jackass question.
Duh. If I eliminate the Bruce Springsteen concert, I'll tell you a concert I saw in high school, Timmy. Uh-huh. Now, obviously, you can't compare anything to Bruce.
Did they have instruments before I when seen, you were in high school?
Yeah, of course they did. Come on.
A couple rocks.
You know who I seen in high school? And they were incredibly good.
The Letterman.
Styx.
Oh man,
Styx was a good band.
Every song is the same.
I'm sailing away.
Cartman.
Met an open course for an agency.
They're from Chicago. They're from Chicago.
I saw Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay.
Before Scott Weiland died, when he was still in his freaky heroin stage. That was really good.
I saw Billy Squire in concert.
Sorry.
I saw Billy Squire in an elevator.
Well,
No, he was playing at the
Every
Coliseum
story you have,
here.
He's got a topic.
What did I
no,
tell
I'm
you?
Just saying. We're down at the atrium. My girlfriend worked down there. I went to meet her for lunch. I get on the elevator. There's Billy Squire.
He's the third asshole guy.
You know the dude? But you know Billy Squire is a billionaire.
From all the rap.
They're sampling his music. What was that song you had?
Stroke Me?
Stroke Me, yeah.
Three asshole guy. That's Chuck.
Yeah.
You know somebody with two assholes, he knows somebody with three.
I didn't. I want to make it clear. I don't like Billy Squire, but I got laid.
I think you do. I think you like Billy Squire.
It was strictly for my date, and I got laid, so it worked. It all worked out.
I grew up in a... Now, I'll tell you who the best and most of our people, you should listen. You should look them up and listen to them. They're called The National. It was probably the very best concert I ever saw. They played a music hall. They have a lot of strings, a lot of piano, a lot of instruments in music halls made for that. And
yeah, a lot of bands have.
And outside of Springsteen, I'd say it was the best concert I've ever seen. The National.
All right. Thank you very much. Colonel, it's time for shout-outs.
Colonel, Timmy.
You must give a shout-out to Cheryl Muskow's boyfriend, Brett Wilkins, who also listens to the show, which, Cheryl, please add him to your list. She just posted something on her page.
You mean the list I had before that I added him to?
I don't know. I just want to make sure you give him a shout-out.
Are you the motherfucking list, or am I?
Well,
I mean, do you want to do...
She posted on our page.
Because you can do some goddamn shout-outs.
She posted on his page. She's feeling bummed because you don't give him a shout-out.
Well, I did not know until yesterday's podcast or today's podcast. You know, listeners, you should know this is my second podcast in a row. And I've been sitting here since roughly 10:30 this morning in the studio. Have not had a bite to eat. It's 2:30 in the afternoon.
Now,
Timmy's going to rush my ass out through these fucking podcasts because he wants to get his ass out of here at 3.
No one cares about your problems. Just go.
You certainly don't give a rat's ass about my problems.
One of our listeners who is in love with this young man has asked.
Well, if he's good enough for Cheryl, he must be a fine man. But I gave him a shout out on the last goddamn show.
Well, we haven't released that yet. So
well, we haven't released this one either.
I care about your feelings.
Thank you, Devil. Thank you. The Devil would probably offer me a special K-bar or something. What have you offered me, Timmy?
I offered you a cookie.
You did offer me a cookie. You're a wonderful woman.
I buy you
woman.
Lunch about once every
week. Well, you
week.
Do. So does the Devil, I suppose.
Yeah,
so.
And you know.
Okay, let's get on with the shout-outs. Let's get on with the shout-outs here.
A point of order. Brandy, you bought lunch today. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Some days I buy lunch.
Some days.
Do you recall the Colonel buying lunch?
I have bought lunch before.
He's bought lunch before once or twice.
How long ago has that been?
I don't remember.
Because you guys buy lunch before I know you're doing it.
Has it been within the last 6 months?
I do not think so.
Thank you. No more further questions.
Okay. You're not a lawyer. Your questions
didn't
don't
pass
count.
The bar.
You didn't pass the bar. Okay, so let me get on with these shout-outs. Now, let's start. We always start with the beautiful Tasha.
Tasha and her mother,
and
Ophelia,
her mother, Miss Ophelia.
Out there in California. Out there probably near...
Altamont?
Altamont,
I believe it was near San Francisco.
I think they're more the central part of the state, if I remember right.
Michael Eisenhower.
Very good dude.
Yeah. Danielle Fredrickson.
Hi, Danielle.
Andy Sparacio. Toby Deese. Nancy Jalapeno Papa.
Hey, Nancy.
Jennifer Hawkins. Tara Chinchilla. Lindsay McMillan, who lives right up by my boys. When next time I go to Chicago, I'm going to meet Lindsay McMillan.
What about Jessica? She lives in Chicago.
She lives far away from Chicago, and I don't believe Jessica has not said. Lindsay McMillan
Jessica
said,
does not want to meet
the
him.
Next time you come to Chicago,
got a restraining order,
you tell me we'll get a beer together with the Mrs. Colonel and
maybe,
the kids.
Maybe invite Tyra Jenkins, who I think is also in Chicago.
If Tyra's in Tyra is in Chicago, she's coming with us.
Invite Scott. He lives up there as well.
Carol Payne is Scotty J. Come along for the ride.
Sounds like a great idea.
Let's see. We got Jason Dykes, Sammy James, Joel Handler, Eddie Rushing, Sunyana Adonki.
What? He's not pronouncing these names right. He can't.
Carleen Madison, Alan Dobbs, Kelsey Froh, Jorg Huckler.
What the fuck is he even
George.
Saying?
It's J-O-R-G.
George. You remember?
George, okay, Huckler.
It's how you remember it, Carl. Remember there was a second baseman for the White Sox and Indians called George Orta?
Mm-hmm.
He spelled his name like that.
Yeah, but I think this is a Swedish guy. That was a
Hispanic guy. Maybe it might be different.
So Amber Anderson.
You're a mess.
I like
I
Amber.
Know. Danielle Fredrickson. Christian Dormer, Little Emmy Waterfall.
You said Danielle twice. Not that that's a problem.
I did not.
Yeah, you did.
Did
Danielle, we love you.
Oh, yeah, I did. I got Danielle on the list twice.
See?
You never usually pay attention. Susan Angles, Kirsten Davidson, Don Gordon, John Gray, Dave Hill, Thomas Tuohy, TJ Youngblood, Redhead Robin Sanchez, Chris Lane, Megan McKee, Frank Daniels, Joe Hopkins, Sabrina Whitener,
Mike Rosen, Beth Wallen, Josh King,
Brett Wilkins. Thank you for listening with Cheryl Mosco.
Yes, it's a very nice couple.
Neil Eagleton, Natasha Davis, Nicholas Starr, Steve Miller, Angie Drake. Happy birthday to you, Angie. Becky Mitchell, Keith Frusty. Of course, we just did Brett, so let's say hello to Cheryl Musco.
Yes, Cheryl, his girlfriend.
Very Andy nice Volley, couple. Marvin Hammond.
I like Andy.
With a beautiful mother.
Yes.
Mary Ray.
Mary Ray, who gave us, who mentioned us on a podcast we listened to, Paige, and that we really appreciate it.
Katie Moorhead.
Katie.
Christine
Bourgeois.
Jeff Appel, Maggie Glover, Brandy McBride, Lydia.
I want to say, I think Lydia sent us a photo. No, I'm sorry, go ahead and continue. I'm thinking of someone else. Go continue.
Bond.
Gene Bond.
Okay. Tara, John Cunningham, Gabby Lewis, Laura O'Reilly, Jamie Tarantino, Sydney and Michael, Stephanie Quick, Trixie, Gina Spillane, Amber Krupp, William Truax, Denny.
McNamara. Denny.
McNamara.
We're going to have you up here for a podcast at some point in the spring.
Who definitely, he was right. He posted his pictures and he overkicked his coverage there.
Yeah.
Byron Snellings, Bridget Clavey, Kate McCarthy.
Yeah, we're going to have Kate in for a podcast too when she's available.
Lovely young Katja.
The beautiful young Katja, who posted her graduation picture, and she was wearing the traditional garb and had a hat, and she looked very lovely in it.
Annette Petray.
Annette Petray from the Bronx.
Annette Petray, the obsessively calm cream lady.
Yes. Check out her products. Obsessively calm. She has soaps and all types of creams and things like that. Cool stuff. Check them out.
Steph Glenn, Christina Hodges, lovely Christina Montana, lovely, of course, Maria Barber, beautiful Jennifer Potts, Cindy Overstreet Hamilton, who's always very funny on the
show. She is.
Paul Mampilli, Mike Arnold, Brittany Powell, our two Heathers, Heather Hall and Heather Poole.
Yes, ladies. Thank you for listening.
And Daza, Jeff Hopkins, John Janke, Mike Tabor, Lise, Kevin Behan, Carol Nash. Lise is like Madonna. We'll just go with one name.
Yes,
for her.
Lise.
And Tasha is like Madonna. We just say Tasha.
Yeah.
Terry Helmsley, Heather Marshall, our third Heather, Maddie Keenan, Amelia Roscoe, Michael Daniel, Jim Moyer, Jessica Bishop, Liz Evans, Brenda Deutsch, Stacy Lynn, Jeffrey Dolan, Miriam Buckwald, Jennifer Miller, Susanna Sheldon, Skip Fayou, Callie, how you doing, little Callie Jones? Brandy Willis Deese, Andy Smizer, Norma DiMaggio, Karen Alden, Angie L, Amber Trevino, another funny one. Carla Nelson, Jessica Winchester, Anita Darden, Nancy Weller, Tammy Ennis, who's always very active on the
yes,
page.
Yes, thank you, Tammy.
Valerie Murray. Have I got Celine? Have I said Celine? Have I left her
no,
off the list?
No, you must. Cause
I got Celine. Okay.
Right, Celine,
Jeff Girdley.
Celine is one of our most
Sam Hildebrand. Jennifer and Linda.
Listeners.
Missy Dean Horton. Britt and Chris, Celine, of course, Dr. Jeff Chestnut, and his lovely wife, Dawn.
Yes. Dr. Jeff, who played football in high school.
Mm-hmm. With the badass sideburns.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa Slavin, Tommy Boomershine.
Tommy
Boom Boom. Shonda and Larry.
Yeah.
All of the Crow
Shonda
Bridges.
And Larry.
And one of them is considered, Linda, I believe, is considering doing a podcast.
Oh, really?
So when she does, she
maybe
will
she'll have me on
know.
As a guest.
not if she wants it to be any good.
Well, why do you say that, Colonel? I'm willing to be a guest on any podcast. I don't care what kind of podcast it is. I will share my knowledge and personality.
Okay, well,
maybe that's what they're afraid of.
Yeah, that's what they're not.
Why do you say that?
For.
I keep waiting for someone to ask me to be on a podcast, but it hasn't happened.
You were asked to be on a podcast,
Alien.
Well, I mean, yeah, I was on Insight for a while, but I'm saying
so they kicked you off.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying I haven't been
scandalous.
I keep wanting that someone to offer me to come on as a guest, but no one ever reaches out to me. Their people don't get in touch with my people.
I keep waiting for somebody to stalk me. Nobody does it. So.
Well, yeah.
Phyllis Munson?
Well, they see that you're in love with your date that you had there in high school.
I have not.
He was a handsome man. I'll give you that. You okay. could really.
I could pick
you
him.
You could do worse.
I could pick him, yeah.
yeah.
He had a nice feathered hair. Yeah. Did you notice
you both
that?
Did.
No, mine was all curly. You couldn't feather
yeah,
my
he
hair.
Yeah, it was sort. He was, it was, he was like Hutch, and the other guy was Starsky.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Aaron Wentz, Donna Curran, Brian and Lisa Lawton, Olivia Meyer. And then we get to really the VIPs is what I like to consider them because they're the discerning listeners.
Mm-hmm.
They're the people who kind of, they're smart. They're very smart because they have aligned themselves with the Colonel.
Yeah, and I'm not sure all of these people that you claim to be on your team.
You know,
are
I've
actually...
read off the list for months and months. None have yet to protest.
That you know of.
So, let's see. Let's start off with Angie Ball. Sarah, little Sarah. Well, you know, Sarah Spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
The lovely Ginger Burdick.
Very lovely Jennifer Burdick. She is a very attractive young lady. What? How can I say that someone's attractive? Why do you always have to browbeat me for saying it?
I don't know that I've browbeat you ever.
Karen Barnes is a very lovely young lady. Karen Barnes.
Is she a browbeater or not, Colonel?
She's a ball buster. Janet Fitzgerald. Frances Darden. Jessica Williams. Amanda Bocce Ball. Shannon Rossett. Tiffany Bell. Monica D. Agostino, Scotty J., Angela Cobes, Radhika Smith, Liz Keating. The mascot of the team Colonel is Little Beautiful Fallon.
The Beautiful Fallon. She's from Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lovely lady. Yes. What? Is that something wrong? I said that? I said she's lovely.
The Three Amigos. We got Charlie. And Allie from Insight.
The Insight podcast, which is one of the top hottest podcasts out there. So check it out if you haven't.
And the
a lot
lovely
better than this shit.
Lovely and striking. Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into good podcasts.
right.
The lovely and very striking Nicola Reed.
Nicola is very nice.
And quite smart. And quite funny.
And
obviously,
she's
smart, but
law.
She's very, very funny. And Kim Kamikaze Kazmersky. So that is what I have. And the lovely Lady Beverly, our British,
our
royal listener.
Yes, she's part of the royal family over there in Great Britain.
And the beautiful and the wonderful Dottie Scott.
Yes, thank you, Mom, for listening. Brandy, where can people find us?
You can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have two Facebook pages. We have one called History Dweebs, but we also have one where we interact with everyone, including all the people we've mentioned in the shout-out list. And that's called History Dweebs, the podcast. So please join us there, and I think you'll have a lot of fun. People, we interact, and we have a lot of fun things going on. Where else, Brandy?
You can find us on Twitter.
Yeah, we have to. You can follow us at HistoryDweebs1. And you can follow the Colonel at at Hawkwaters.
You can find us on, iTunes.
iTunes. If you do, please leave us a review. Joe Hopkins left us a very nice review. Joe, we really appreciate that. It's a way of people finding us and getting exposed to the podcast. So if you. Listen to us on iTunes. By all means, please leave us a nice review. We would really appreciate it.
And you can find us on Libsyn and Stitcher and Podcast Garden, Potter and Family, something like that.
Yeah, we're all over the place. We're more popular than Captain Kangaroo.
Clearly.
Brandy, any final thoughts on the anal cancer?
It's bad. Bad. Anal it's a bad cancer, scene. Anal cancer is a bad scene. Try to avoid it.
Colonel, any final thoughts on the anal cancer?
No, except for, you know, watch. You can get it from going to concerts with the Hell's Angels because they'll put a boot up your ass and that kind of hurts you. And
I did not think that was the case. The Colonel is having some problems, as you probably all know, with his iPhone. He's
piece of shit is what it is. fucking Apple. You know what? Ever since
Steve
Bill
Jobs
Gates died.
No, Steve. It was Steve Jobs. But
well, whoever the fuck it was.
He had the cancer.
They fucked up.
Like your mother, he had the cancer.
God rest his soul and God rest his soul. But could they come out with a goddamn phone that the buttons work or the touchscreen works or... This is just aggravating.
Well, you'll be happy to know that on this date in 2007, Steve Jobs unveiled the iPhone.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
On this date. Mm-hmm.
Well, talk about getting an anal cancer because plenty of people have got it straight up the old rear end since then.
Oh, I love the iPhone. Apple. I love the iPhone and I love Tinder. I meet a lot of friends.
And Backpage.
And Backpage.
It's all excellent news.
Well, I wish we could sit and talk the rest of the day, but unfortunately...
No, you don't, because you two are leaving here in 10 minutes, and you don't really give a rat's ass what happens after that.
That's true. Brandy, any final thoughts?
No.
Would you like to give your love, thoughts and prayers to any of our listeners, or all of them?
Well, all the listeners, always. I love our listeners.
Yeah, you
they're
know,
so they're
jumping off of Team Brandy left and right, I see.
Are they?
Yeah.
You know, here's what I want to know. You're giving me shit about my picture. Did you see our prom pictures?
Yeah.
One spark and the whole fucking room would have exploded.
Hey, that shit had to stay put.
I mean, it was just
big hair. It
was
the big hair time.
It was big hair time.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit was
that's
tight.
Back when you couldn't do no hair pulling. You couldn't touch with somebody's hair. No,
you didn't. No, well, no, we did. But you know what? That shit was tight. That was a good. Those were. That
oh,
was
it was
good
a,
hair.
It was a good hair, but
it was good hair.
But it was dangerous. I'm surprised the fire department didn't make you wear some.
All 80s and 90s hair was dangerous.
You know what? I love the 80s. That was the best decade.
I miss big hair so much. I wish we could have big hair.
Well, you can.
No.
I think I'm going to grow myself a mullet.
I absolutely think you should do that.
I don't think you can.
I think,
oh,
no.
I can.
Remember he grew one and then Renee got tired of it and gave him that prison haircut?
She put a ball on his head.
No, remember it was so tight.
She
like it was.
Shit down.
Yeah.
Cue ball.
I was letting my hair grow out, and she decided one day enough, I'm shaving that shit.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
You belong to her.
But, no, I love all of our listeners. Our listeners are wonderful.
They are. But we have to go home. So thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next time on History Dweebs.
Good day, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.